It says, I will praise the name of the Lord with song. That's a good thing to do. We just did that, didn't we? David said, he said, and I will magnify him, magnify God. And it tells us how, with a grateful heart, with a thankful heart. In other words, with thanksgiving.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings and welcome to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill completes his series, Essentials of the Heart, with the conclusion to A Thankful Heart. Let's listen in now.
I think maybe they wrote that wrong in the Greek or something, you know. You know, the words there, always and for all things. Well, it didn't say in all things, did it? It says for all things. You know, we're not to celebrate going through trials, are we? No. No, but you know, it's not about rejoicing in it. It's rejoicing for all things. We're just saying, Lord, whatever we're going through, I'm going to praise you. You know, Jeremiah said this. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I love that scripture because, you know, we're faced with things all the time here at the church. People come into my office. They're faced with mountains. I mean, you know, it hurts me when I see a young mom come in, three little kids, and the dad is not taking care of them. You understand? That's a horrible thing, isn't it? And they're all broken up, and they have no money, nothing to eat, and just trying to make it, and you're nursing one, and two of them you're pulling along with you. And I say, why all this pain, all this hurt? And I have to always remember, there's nothing. And I looked that young girl in the eye and I said, I want you to know that there's nothing too hard for God. I'm telling you that God is going to come to your aid, that He is going to help you. And may I say to you, I believe that with all my heart, that there's absolutely nothing too hard, nothing too difficult for the Lord that we serve. Amen? And He's the one that looks upon our heart. And there are times, I'll tell you, that we should, even though we're going through the time of whatever it may be, we should just open up our mouth and, you know what? Let the thanks be to God pour right out of our heart. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice sometimes. Oh, I'm sorry. That was the NIV. And I'm just joking. I have nothing. You know, I'm not beating anybody up if they have the NIV, but rejoice always. Did you know that that is a command? That's not an option. That's a command. Rejoice always. What's so wonderful, it tells us who to rejoice in, the object of our rejoicing. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul says, again, I say, rejoice. Paul, writing in Thessalonians 5:17, he says this. He says, pray without ceasing. That's another command. Pray without ceasing. And listen to what he says. Well, let me stop right there. To pray without ceasing doesn't mean that we pray 24/7, does it? No, it means we pray all the time. But here's what it means. It means never give up. Never give up. Persistent, passionate prayer. Never giving up, even when it looks like it's over, even when it looks like there's no way out, even when you feel like I just can't even say another word. Well, when you can't say another word, fall on your face and start groaning. Amen? Groaning is scriptural. It's in the Bible. Amen? Amen. The Holy Spirit, it says, with groanings that cannot be uttered, there in Romans chapter 8. So groaning is definitely spiritual, okay? I mean, I hear a lot of groaning from the body. You're a praying bunch, aren't you? No, listen, something happens, praying without ceasing. And then one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible, and it says, remember, it says, in all things, or in everything, here it is, give what? Thanks. In everything, not for everything, but in it, whatever you're going through, in it. He says, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Would you say that the will of God is the safest place in the world for a Christian to be? Well, if this is a command, would you say that the majority of the church is out of the will of God? Are we really giving thanks? You know, I know you've heard me talk a lot about that. especially in circumstances. Remember what it says in Psalm 22, verse 3, I believe it is, that God inhabits the praises of Israel or the praises of his people. My heart is so full of gratitude for you. You say, well, Bill, how can we really be thankful when all these things are happening? Well, you know, first of all, we have to believe that God is for us. Amen. But we have to really believe what it says in the Bible. That's why we always need to renew our minds to the Word of God. Remember what it says in Romans 8:28. It says something. It says, we know that all things, amen, not some things, not a few things, all things work together for what? For good. Do you really believe that? That all things, and boy, people say, that's not what that's saying. Yes, it is. It's saying that all things work together for good, not to everyone, no, only to those, it says, who love God and that are called according to his purpose. In other words, God has a purpose, a plan for you in your life, in my life. Amen? Do you believe that every detail of our lives, if we're in Christ and we're saved, work together for good? That they're working together right now. Listen to me. Whatever you're facing tonight, I'm telling you that just believe God's word and say, okay, I don't like you. I don't like what's happening. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to work together. You're going to work together for me, and you're going to do it for good. Amen? The outcome may look bad right now, but the fact of the matter is I have a thankful heart because all those things, whatever is attacking me, whatever is coming against me, every lack of faith sometimes I have or doubt in my heart, whatever it is, God says, I'm working, Bill. I'm working in you. And these things that have come against you, oh, I'm telling you, it's going to turn out for your good. I would not trade the things that God has taught me, would you? No, the experiences when we thought that all was gone, there was no way out, you can't make a house payment, you don't have gas for your car. Listen, I remember when Pastor Chuck was, I think he was in Sweden, and this little Swedish girl wanted so hard to get to the event. Daryl, you probably remember this, that she poured water in the gas tank, remember that, of her car, and it started, and she drove to see Pastor Chuck. Honest God, Pastor Chuck, this is the truth. You say, well, Bill, you take Sudafed tonight or something? Are you weird? No, man, I'm just being honest. Listen, there's nothing too hard for God. I remember when I first came to the Lord there, you know, I was visiting some friends and I was only about a year old in the Lord and we were all kind of hippies back then, you know what I mean? And long hair and, you know, cool and all that. You guys aren't cool today. We were cool. We're in this little bug, you know, this Volkswagen bug. And you know, you can only get so many people. Man, we had but one car. And we just all packed in there and the car died. I mean, it just died. And you know, the motor is in the back. Remember how you lifted up the thing? And so I was talking to the guy and I said, what do you think it is? I don't know. So we all just walked over and just were just talking and he stayed looking at the motor and all of a sudden it started up. And I said, man, what did you do? He says, I didn't do a thing. I said, Lord, I said, would you please heal this car? That's the truth. There's nothing too hard for God. See, you say, well, Bill, that's just silly. No, it's not. We just prayed for a person here not too long ago. Listen, the doctor sent her home from the hospital and said 90% of her heart was no good and only 10% is working. We cannot even continue any treatments. Do you know what? I went and prayed for that woman at her house just recently before she could go to another doctor. And you know what she told me? She said, the doctor said 100% of my heart is now working. Amen? You say, how do I explain that? I don't know, but I know everybody was praying for her. And you think, well, how did that happen? I don't know. God is the God of miracles. Amen? You know, we don't schedule miracles. We don't plan miracles. We're not a healer. Amen? No, we look to the Lord. See, all things work together for good. That's what the Bible says. And you know what that tells me? It tells me that we're not the victim. It tells me that we are the victor. And you say, well, now, Bill, wait a minute. You don't understand. My heart tonight is so overwhelmed. My heart is so weak. Well, listen very carefully then. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Because we are a church. We are a people that have taken the yoke of Christ. We've embraced his lowly heart. And you know, we're a church who believes with all of our heart that this scripture is true. Let me read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, where Paul writes, and he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly." Now we'll do that too, but that's not what I'm talking about. Warn those who are unruly. Here it is. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. You know what it means when it says comfort the faint-hearted? The word comfort there is saying speak to that person. See, when we have a thankful heart, we're always looking how we can help other people. Did you ever notice that? How we can bless other people. You know what? Faint-hearted, that word really in the Greek, I think it means something like little-souled or something like that, weak-spirited. And you know, there are people that come into the body of Christ, and they come and they visit here or on our Sundays or whatnot, and they come in, and you know, they may be faint-hearted. Maybe you're faint-hearted tonight. In other words, maybe you feel that, you know, I love the Lord, but I've blown it so many times, I don't know that God will ever forgive me, or those past sins. And the reason that you're like that is you're just kind of faint-hearted. You haven't come to the place in your life, and it's okay, because we grow, some of us little babies, then we grow up and grow up and so forth. But you maybe you've not come to that place, you know, to where, you know, that you just say, I just feel inadequate. I don't feel gifted. You just need someone to comfort you. You need someone to embrace you. You need the body of Christ to do what the body of Christ should always be doing, and that is reaching out and upholding the weak, supporting them, those that are not sure about their salvation. People call me from the radio all the time. I don't know if I'm really saved. They're living in fear and so forth. I have people here that do the same thing, or they feel so guilty about their past that they just say, you know what, I don't believe God could really ever forgive me. I'm telling you what, if you're in Christ, He has washed away your sins. Amen. He has washed them completely away. You know, there are people that come in here, church. Remember our vision statement. You know, a great commitment to the great commandment, and a great commission grows a great church. Amen. Love never fails. The great commandment, to love, the great commandment. Love God with all of your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then it says the second is like the first. It says, and love one another as yourself. Amen. Love never fails. We need to love one another, uphold one another. And you know, there's something about being around someone, no matter what they're going through, when they have a thankful heart. They just say, I'm just thankful. I don't have a thing, but I'm thankful. Have you ever seen those that have absolutely nothing, but they have the biggest smile on their face? They're thankful. Listen, I know people that have millions of dollars, and they're so unthankful. They're so lonely. And I know those that, you know what? They basically don't have a thing, and they're some of the happiest people. Matter of fact, you want to see some happy people, get involved with missions and go to Casa Hogar. I'm going to be in Mexico this month sometime. And, you know, go to the orphanage, and you'll be surrounded by children with the biggest smiles, the happiest voices that you've ever heard in your life. Amen? That's what it's all about, and they're grateful, yet they have nothing. But yet they have everything. Thank God they're in a wonderful place as well. Turn in your Bibles now to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, as I turn with you, chapter 11, and let's prepare our hearts tonight and embrace the heart of Christ. Look at verse 23 of chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians, one that we talk every time we celebrate communion. I read this scripture, but tonight I want to look at it in a different way. It says, Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." In other words, that personal revelation from Jesus Christ, "that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread." Did you know that the Lord's Supper that we're about to partake was instituted at night? Did you know that? At night. There are those that I meet a lot of times, and they're so sincere, and they just kill me, man. They go, "We celebrate the Lord's Supper identical to the way Jesus did it." And I said, "How's that?" And they said, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And then if I say, "Well, did you know he instituted it at night?" They look at me like, you know, like I just crushed their entire world or something, you know? No, it's at nighttime here. Isn't it ironic that the Lord's Supper that we're about to partake in, that gives you and me such incredible peace, such incredible joy, such incredible assurance that we belong to Him, the Lord's Supper? Isn't it incredible that that very night He was betrayed with a kiss? Think about that for a moment. A few hours later, you know, he's going to be arrested. He's going to go to trial. He's going to be crucified. And you know what? While that was happening around the world, people were sinning against God, sinning against one another. And I start thinking of this, and what did Jesus do? Look at verse 24. And when Jesus had given what? Thanks. We get the word Eucharist from this, the word meaning the giving of thanks. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke it, the bread, in other words, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus is in the upper room in John chapter 13. Did you notice that he didn't complain? He never murmured. And why? I'll tell you why. His heart was thankful. It's hard for us to understand this, I think. It was hours before his death. He was going to the most horrific death that could ever happen to a person. And yet he gave thanks. He was about to be turned over to the hands of sinful man to be abused. And yet I read this and it says he gave thanks. He says here that I give thanks. He says because his body is going to be broken. It's going to be broken for you. It's going to be broken for me. It's going to be broken for the world. And Jesus says, I am giving thanks. He says, I give thanks even though the cross awaited him, even though the entire sin of mankind was going to be placed upon him, he gave thanks. What are we going to do with that? Let me ask you a question. What are you really facing tonight? The reason I say that is because, I mean, the biggest challenge that most of us are going to face after we leave here tonight is trying to figure out which freeway we can get on and if we can get on it and if it's going to be blocked or what road. You know what I'm saying? And I know we have struggles and challenges, but listen, I look at that heart and I say, that's the kind of heart I want. Amen? I want to say, Lord, I want your thankful heart. I want to embrace that. And he says, do this in remembrance of me. And you know what? That breaks my heart when I read that. In other words, what Jesus is literally saying here is this. When I'm gone away, because Jesus was returning, he told him that he was going back to the Father. Jesus said, when I go away, don't forget me. There's something in that that hurts me. I think that when we gather for communion, that our hearts should not only be so exposed to the Lord, but that it's not a ritual. It's something that really happens. Amen. Jesus is so present with us right now. And we're about to celebrate communion. We're about to break the bread. We're about to partake of the cup. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember my death. Remember my death, the things that it was accomplished there. I am so thankful tonight that the living bread gave his life for you and me. Amen. He says in verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The incredible blessing of the new covenant. You know, this do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Is your heart thankful? Think about that for a moment. Is your heart really thankful tonight? Because of the new covenant, we have complete forgiveness from God. Amen? Because of what Jesus did. Romans 5:9 says, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God's gift to us is Jesus Christ. Amen? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. How can we not be thankful? Yes, we have problems. Yes, we have hurts. Yes, we have things that people do to us. They persecute us. They lie about us perhaps or whatever. They treat us unfairly in the workplace. We have family members that you know, don't do right or whatnot. But you know what? God, listen to me now. God has never done you wrong. Amen? God has never done you wrong. The Holy Spirit has never done you wrong. Jesus Christ did not only died for us. Listen carefully now. Jesus, our Lord, has never spoken one wrong thing to you. Everything he has ever said is perfectly true and honest. Amen? I'm so glad that we have a Savior. We have a God that cannot lie. And I look and I say, oh Lord, you know what? You did taste death for us. You did die for us. And he says there in verse 26, let me read it to you. He says, for as often, I mean as often as we partake of the Lord's Supper, and the Bible doesn't tell us how often. You can take it daily. It says, for as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, here it is, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Communion is not an option. It's a command for the Christian. And you know what? We're to eat the bread and drink the cup. And as we do, we preach a visible sermon to the world that's around us today. We preach His coming. Jesus not only died for us, He's coming again. If we read the rest of it, it would tell us to examine our hearts. It would also say, if you do not know Jesus Christ, then I would say, please do not partake of communion tonight. But you know what? You could ask Christ to come into your heart. You could ask Him to save you and be your Lord and really mean it in your heart, God to save you. Then you take the bread, you take the cup. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. Every morning when I go outside, and I know this is weird, but I'm a weird person, but I always look up every morning, as I did this morning. It was really just about overhead. And every morning when I go out, I look up and I say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for this day. Oh, let me say right things. Let me do right things. Let me think right things. Oh, Lord, let me please You. Thankfulness. Having His heart. Having a thankful heart. It says that that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness. God is good, amen? He is so good to us. So good to us. You know, tonight, as we partake together, you remember how, in Luke's gospel, I think it's chapter 17, about the 10 lepers. And they came to the Lord and said, oh, Jesus, Master, have mercy, heal us. Did Jesus heal the 10 lepers? Yes. God, can you imagine that? And it says, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest and obey the law of Moses. And they turned and they left and they went. And as they were going, what happened? They were all healed. All 10 of them were healed. I mean, their voices must have just changed. They knew something happened because they had fingers again. They could see each other. They were all healed. Jesus had mercy on all 10. But Jesus, listen to what happened. Only one came back to give Him thanks. And Jesus said, well, where are the 9? Isn't that heartbreaking? Where are they? Where are the 9? Let this church be the one. Let us be the minority. One came back. I want to be the one. I want to be in the minority. I don't want to be the majority of the body of Christ that's thankless. The thankless 9. I don't want to be there. I don't want to live like that. I want to come back and say, Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that You died for me. I'm so thankful, Lord, that You gave Your body for me. To be beaten, to hang upon a cross, to take my sin, my shame, my punishment, to be my Savior, to live in my heart, to never leave me, never forsake me, never relax Your hold upon me. We have an awesome Savior.
Next time on Love Never Fails, Pastor Bill teaches the message, Lies Christians Believe. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. For Pastor Bill, thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org. or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.